Blog Talk Radio.
Mr. Pop.
Views and opinions of this show do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this network and its affiliates.
You are now listening to Nana Faithful Radio, the show hosted by Faithful for the Faithful, exclusively on Radio AFS.
What's happening, everybody? You're tuned in to Nana Faithful Radio, the show hosted by the Faithful for the Faithful. I'm your host, Nana Faithful. How's everybody doing? I hope everybody had a blessed week. And we're glad you tuned in. And as always, we invite you to call in and let your voice be heard. Bang that number at 646-668-8467. Or I like to remember it, 646-668 Blake Bell, Daniel Kilgore. And we'll put you right through. Okay, so today, just like 5 minutes ago, we got the great honor and the great pleasure of getting the farmer from the beating drum in to talk a little bit of Niners football for as long as we can. We're going to go ahead and put him live right now. How you doing there, Farmer? Farmer, you there?
Hey, my man. Sorry about that. I'm here chilling like a villain, and it's always nice to get to talk some Niner ball, especially since another show I was on has been on a little bit of a hiatus. So I figured the farmer will grace Niner Faithful Radio.
We're glad to have you, bro. We're glad to have you. So here at Niner Faithful Radio, we like to do a little bit of thing. You have your listeners. I have my listeners. So why don't you understand? I know we have talked before, obviously, and everything. But what I like to do when all my guests call in is I like to say, when was it with you that – made you a Niner fan? What called you to be a faithful? Especially a man who's not like myself. I'm from the Bay Area, so it's automatic.
Right.
But what about yourself? I'm very interested.
Well,
go ahead.
Well, you know, man, I was born and raised in North Dakota. My grandpa watched me on Sundays. My grandfather was a Niner fan. He was kind of the odd duck being from North Dakota. You usually root for the Cheeseheads or for Minnesota. My grandpa didn't want that. So that's how I became a faithful was my grandpa.
That's very funny. Mine too. Funny story about my grandfather. I know we've discussed this before, but so my grandfather was from Michigan. My family is pretty much all from the Midwest, pretty much Michigan or Europe. My mom's side of the family. So my grandpa came in, and my grandpa is a Niner fan. And my dad's a Raider fan from Florida, but I don't like to really talk about that much. But my grandpa, I remember being a little kid, you know, I would always watch the Niner games with my grandpa. And then my uncle was a Vikings fan, so we'd watch the Vikings games. And I have another uncle that's a Steelers fan, so we'd watch the Steelers games. And I remember I was a kid in the 89 Super Bowl. My grandpa told me, he said, I kind of hobbled off his lap and everything. And I saw Jerry Rice, which consequently I'm wearing one of my Jerry shirts today. And so I pointed to him, and my grandpa said, you like him? And I said, yeah. And ever since then, and to me, I remember probably my first real, to me, always have faith in your team type of moment. It wasn't when we won the Super Bowl 95. I don't really remember that. But I remember the Giants game. And the comeback of the Giants game. And I remember I was wearing my Steve Young jersey, and I had that little old school hat that just had the little SF on it and everything.
Right.
When we came back against the Giants, I remember running around. They have a little where the San Jose State, a lot of the athletes stay in Spartan Village. Well, one of my group home staff was a football player at San Jose State. So I remember running around Spartan Village yelling, "We're going to see you in Jaffa. We'll see you in Jaffa." And ever since then, that moment right there, I've always been a Niner fan, you know, and a lot of people don't understand this now, but us people are in our 30s or 40s or 50s or whatever, you know, the Niners are actually, it wasn't how much, if the Niners were going to win on Sunday, it was how much they were going to win by. You know, people probably now, these younger cats like my daughter, or, you know, even like my brother's age, I got a brother that's 18. And so he doesn't remember that. He doesn't remember that, you know, hey, the Niners were going to win on Sunday. That was expected. It was like if the
Very
Super,
true.
We didn't win the Super Bowl, it was fire everybody, hang George Seifert, you know.
Right. And start all over again.
And so, and then, you know, we fired Steve Mariucci, which I still, you know, to me, I think that was a turning point in the franchise, and I understand why John York did, because to me, the defeatist attitude of not taking those two timeouts right before halftime, I think that's what sealed, not the fact that we lost the game and we got, I mean, hell, that was probably one of the best defenses the NFL ever seen. And the 2002
right.
Tampa Bay, you know, Buccaneers. I mean, they dismantled the Raiders in the Super Bowl. That wasn't even close. Oh, I love that. That was probably one of the happiest days of my life, walking around school that day. Just walking around, oh, y'all quiet. Oh, yeah, it was awesome. But so.
Right.
I know we talked a little bit before we got on air and everything like that. But so out of our draft class, who's your player to watch?
Honestly, I think my player to watch is Kittles.
Awesome.
I see, you know, I honestly see maybe another Dak Prescott happening with TJ. Because those two, you know, Lynch and Shanahan, you know, they saw something there because you don't draft a quarterback generally and then draft a tight end from the same school. Now, if you look at Iowa and the points and the yardage and everything else that what I call them is kibbles and bits put up, man, it is phenomenal. So there's already good connection with Kittles and CJ
Pathard. And of course, everybody always – the us football notes, they always say – I tried to be a tight end in high school. Let's say that. I tried to be a tight end. But they always say tight end is the quarterback's best friend.
It is. Truly is.
A young quarterback's best friend, especially.
Oh, totally. And so I feel that, you know, with Kittles probably being one or two, you know, it's going to be a really easy five-yard button hook to him. Or spread the field, but you know, on the offense. But yeah, on
the
offense, I see being Kittles.
And see, the thing about it is, so ideally, what you're going to have is because the fact is we don't have a true number one receiver, and this is the thing I hope that doesn't happen to Pierre Garçon is I don't hope that he doesn't have the Torrey Smith syndrome, which everybody thought that Torrey Smith was going to come in here and he's going to be the next coming of T.O. and oh my God,
right.
And all that. And I mean, see, and this is the thing what I think people really truly don't understand when you come play for this franchise is when you play certain positions, quarterback, tight end, safety, defensive line, offensive line. I mean, pretty much almost every person, it comes with the standard. You know, it comes with
it
we
does.
Expect certain things with our quarterbacks. We expect certain things out of our receivers, our running backs. You know, we just – that's what we expect as Niner fans. We have a standard. You know, at least the ones that remember what the standard is. Like, you know, Gary
right.
Plummer. I remember Gary Plummer was gangster. I mean, don't even get me started on Gary Plummer. That hit he had against Green Bay where he just jumped
over. I actually spoke with Gary Plummer, so.
Oh, I remember I was a kid, and the Niners held a training thing at San Jose State. And so I was so I actually ran away from the group home, and that's why I didn't meet a lot of the players. But I remember the group home owner I was in, he was a San Jose State alum. And he knew Fizz Hill. So I met Fizz Hill all the time. Fizz Hill is hella cool. I met Fizz Hill.
Yeah.
And so I remember I was standing up, and I'm trying to get, you know, the players' attention and everything, or Gary Plummer's attention. And Andre sees me, and then Andre goes, TJ. And I go, what? He goes, what the hell are you doing in the stands? I'm like, huh? He goes, come on, come to the field. And I was like, what? So I walked right up to Gary Plummer, and I was like, man, Mr. Plummer, it's an honor to meet you. I was like, number 50. Like, and he's like, I was like, probably like 12 years old. And I just when I started to try to play football. And I was like, oh, my God, like, it's Gary Plummer. And he showed me a Super Bowl ring and everything. I was like the Super Bowl ring. Like, it was awesome this day of my life.
Yeah, man.
But,
that,
no,
that,
interesting.
That right there is the Holy Grail, man.
Yeah.
That ring.
Oh.
You know?
I mean, first to five. That's – see – oh, bro, I could get into it all day. But see, Kittle is – I'm so awesome that you see that in Kittle because I really think that – now, this is my – Kittle is going to be awesome. I mean, I think that to have that great – I mean, when you listen to how he talks about blocking and he says to move a man against his will is – he's like, it's the greatest feeling ever. I was like, that's exactly what I want to hear. That's what I want to hear with my tight end. That's exactly what I wanted to say. Oh, that's the greatest thing.
You know, Faithful, honestly,
yeah.
You know, the whole mindset for this team, for what I've seen for, you know, practice and,
yeah.
and OTAs and you know, the rookies being there and getting in some pads and everything else like that. You know, besides
mm-hmm.
Buckner, you know, I'm still a little on the fence with Buckner. You know, he's going to have to show me something.
You know, see, to me, and this is one of the reasons why I believe they brought in Solomon Thomas, honestly, is the fact that if the two, let's just exclude Solomon Thomas for a second, out of the two, which is Armstead and Buckner, I don't believe both of them are going to be first round, you know, anchors of your defensive line. You know, I don't believe it is. And honestly, out of the two,
right.
I believe it's going to be Buckner. I believe more in Buckner than Armstead. Now, the thing about that's interesting about Armstead is if you talk to Joe Staley, who he's going against and everything, he was saying last year that he improved. He just never really got to show it because of his shoulder. Now, the thing about
right.
C.J. Beathard that I found is that, see, to me, well, I think one of the most underrated things in quarterbacks is winning. And the fact the winning attitude, you know, if you listen to Bill Walsh talk about Joe Montana, there's a joke that in the interview he says he's probably been winning ever since he's put on an athletic supporter.
I remember that,
which is one of the reasons that okay, I understand the way that if you look at the overall picture, like when we first picked Solomon Thomas, I was like, oh, fine, whatever, defensive line, okay, fine, cool, whatever. This will be the pick that, okay, 3-4 years from now, fine, awesome. Of course, when we got Reuben Foster, I lost my mind because I see the, you know, the overall plan now of how everything
right,
shaped
but,
out.
You know, Reuben is, you know, he scares me, though. You know, he got injured, you know, it just –
physicality
doesn't
take its toll.
And he also got popped in college for drugs. And, you know, it's not something that the Niners need. You know, we've had our fair share of criminals, per se. And, you know, I don't know if
– And distractions.
And distractions. And this team, after last year's distractions, we don't need any distractions this year. We just need to play ball. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's straight up ball,
yeah.
and you know, let's check our egos at the door and
egos
play as
door.
A unit.
Yeah.
You know.
And see, this is. Go ahead.
No, and I'm just gonna say, you know, I think that's the culture that
mm-hmm.
Lynch
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
Shanahan is putting out there for his players.
Well, and this is the thing about it is that I totally understand what you're saying. That you know, we don't need another Alden Smith. Like, see, this is the thing why, you know, I hate Trent. I mean, you know, there's no secret how I feel about, I mean, you know, I'll just say it right now.
Fuck you, Trent!
You know what I'm saying? That's just
hey,
really honestly
pass
how
him.
I feel.
There's a voice I know. Yeah.
Awesome. So I saw it. When I saw what it was, I was like, okay, I'm going to play it because that's really, you know. But I understand. There's certain – what people don't understand is, hey, Trent, you know, Alden Smith was a high draft pick. That's a player that should still be on the Niners, you know, producing for us. You know, and it was – so I understand he's risky. But to me, I like to pick because you see the talent and you have belief in yourself. You have belief in your system, your people, the people you're surrounding him with, the players you're surrounding him with, the support he has, you know, what he's came out and said and everything like that. You know, you're in California, you're in a lot more liberal type of, you know, city and everything like that. Like, pretty much, as long as you're not walking around, you know, touching children or beating up women around here, you're pretty much good, you know? As long as you're not beating
right.
up women or, you know, we're California. You know, I mean, you should have seen, you know, during the Giants and Tim Lincecum heyday, how many Let Tim Smoke shirts were around here. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, it's like, I tell people, honestly, like, I have family came from here and everything, and they trip out about it, bro. So you're in a pretty liberal area. So to me, when he said, you know, Patrick Willis, to me, you don't understand how much I love Patrick Willis. Like, to me, probably one of the most heartbreaking moments I've seen was Patrick Willis on that stage far, far too early. That man deserves a Super Bowl ring. I'm just so heartbroken that he never got it because of the dedication and the years he spent. I remember he had surgery on his hand, and we were playing Thursday night, and he played Thursday night. You know, so.
Yeah, you know, we should have addressed the P. Will, you know, a long time ago. This isn't something that should have just happened. You know, it's
yeah.
definitely – as soon as we found out that he retired – or was going to retire, we should have been chomping at the bit and trying to find his replacement. You know, Navarro Bowman can't do it all. And
no,
it's shown last year.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he went down so early in the year and everything like that. But, yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing about it is that I think that if we're going to do anything, and, like, we talked a little bit before we went ahead and went on air, we talked a little bit how I believe because we've overhauled so much of the roster. You know, I mean, I was dating a girl last year, and she's a Niner fan. You know, like she'll tell you, hey, you know, no, Niners are my team. And it's funny because she's from New Jersey, but her mom's from here. But you know, even she could point out, you know, the Nick Borges, you know, and just the players that just didn't need to be on the football field last year. And
yeah.
So, to me, is when you picture Navarro Bowman can't do it all, I think building the depth, and I almost think that because, you know, we didn't get the superstar. I mean, Malcolm Smith was a pretty good little pickup. I like Malcolm Smith, his potential. I think what it is, what the only part that concerns me is a lot of these players are on one-year contracts, you know?
Right.
So, what happens? And, you know, so what happens if all these players fall out? You've actually, let's just say Kiwan Williams, for example, who I believe we got Kiwan Williams for a I have it in my notes. I believe we got Kiwan Williams for a one-year deal. So
we did, yeah.
Let's say he balls out. Yeah, okay, yeah. I was pretty sure of that. Let's say he balls out and he go ahead and leaves to the Patriots, for example. Let's just throw out a team there. You know, he leaves to the Patriots. It's counterproductive. You know, and that's what we don't need is that you know, like you mentioned, we shouldn't have drafted the pre-Willis. Well, you got to understand, I'm not saying necessarily Bulky wasn't good at picking talent. He was good at picking defense.
Oh, Bulky
was a bum.
But it
just seemed always – but he's – but it always seemed like something happened. Like, for example, he drafts Chris Borland retires. He drafts Alden Smith. Alden Smith ends up – can't stay away from a bottle. Like, I just – I couldn't understand that all this 50. Like, bro, you just so talented. Like, it was Lawrence Taylor and his. Oh my God, like.
Yeah.
Oh, like,
but you know, I don't mean to change it to, you know, a different
yeah.
show, but there was definitely a lot of turmoil, you know, up top, you know, with Trent and
yeah.
Jed and
yeah.
you know and the owners are you know and uh-huh. the owner staff and in my opinion. You know, that's why a lot of these great players didn't want to play for the Niners was
yeah.
because
mm-hmm.
of what was because of Trent
mm-hmm.
and also because of Jed. And it's nice to
mm-hmm.
see Jed this year really take the back seat to
yes.
you know, to Lynch and to Shanahan and
of
actually
course.
Let
mm-hmm.
them do their job. You know, Trent Baalke in my eyes was a bum and
yeah. Oh, yeah.
he should have you know, stayed as a scout. You know, there is no way that that man was even qualified, you know, to be the GM. And again, this is my personal opinion.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. It was a Jed wanting to feel comfortable and everything like that, and you know, my thing about you're not gonna punk John Lynch. I mean, you really think that Jed York is gonna punk John Lynch? No, John Lynch, you know, he's hey, look, you go run the staff room and you go, you know, sell the tickets and all that type of stuff. You're good at that stuff. You leave the football to the football people. You know,
right.
And I think what really made me think that the culture, you mentioned culture earlier, what made me think the culture was changing and really makes me have faith where, oh, my God, I can't wait for football season this year, is that when he came out and he was honest and he said, look, it's not a secret that stuff flies out this building. And so, if the second that it got out, I was a candidate of GM, I was going to withdraw my name. And you know, the fact that he was able to, with Jed York not sitting too far away from him, you know, that showed me that he had balls. And for Jed, and I'll give Jed his credit because he looked and he goes, yeah, and we kept it quiet and we had to keep him at my guest house. So he had his little comeback. But to me, the fact that he's still here and, you know, there wasn't some, shows me that I hope Jed learned his lesson. Because as much as, yeah, we were winning with Harbaugh and everything, look, Harbaugh had his fault. He really did. You know, the fact that, you know, we didn't score from what, we were 8 yards out and we didn't score. I mean, there was things that constantly kept up of Harbaugh's throughout Harbaugh's tenure. You know, you look back to 2011 and that we should have gone to the Super Bowl pretty much. Okay, maybe theoretically you could say against Seattle, fine, whatever. But the first 2 years, we should have gone to the Super Bowl. The fact that we lost that overtime game to the Giants should have never happened. We just had Alex
Smith,
who couldn't move the football beyond 10 yards at a time. The Giants knew that, played zone coverage, you know, moved cover two to take away the outside routes, you know, the lower, the flat in the middle of the field, and looked at Alex Smith and said, we dare you to beat us deep.
We all know that Alex Smith can't throw past 10 yards. So
yeah. And so, you know, Harbaugh had his faults. You know, there were things. So to me, okay. So to get back to the rookies, sorry, we went on that tangent. To get back to the rookies, Kettle is one of mine. Solomon Thomas, I think his production, I think it'll be just as Smith is. And when I say that, I'm not saying that he'll be that type of player. What I'm saying is it's not going to be stuff that shows on the stat sheet. But let's just say he takes on two blocks. Let's just say that he takes on two blocks. And that frees up, let's just say, Malcolm Smith to take the running back. Or, you know, Reuben Foster to make the sack or whatever. That's not going to show up on the stat sheet. But the fact that he took on those two blocks shows a lot.
I'm hoping, you know, when they brought Elvis in, you know, hopefully he can, you know, help these young kids develop also. You know, you know, I see what, you know, what Shanahan and Lynch did by bringing in Elvis. Is they need more veterans on that defense. You know, you look at our defense, and it's a young squad, you know, and people are like, well, not. I'm like, it is. You know, you look at Eric Reed, he's still young. You know, I want to say 4 years, which, you know, on that team is actually old. You know, if I'm not mistaken, we are the youngest.
You know, Richard Robinson. We're talking about Richard Robinson, you know, being our second. He's in his second year.
Yeah,
and he's going to be our state. They're talking about, this is our starting quarterback. Base defense, he will always be out the field. Their plan is not to take, I mean, within reason, not to take him out. He'll be majority of defensive snaps. And he's a second-year player. You know, there's a lot of people that are coming in, and they're putting, you know, Solomon Thomas, now the defensive line coach, has said that they will rotate, and I think that'll be a key. And
yes,
what I think is what really my curiosity is going to be. Now, Shanahan has control over the 53. So my curiosity is, you know, we have depth. We've accumulated defensive line, like you said, Dumervil. We've got Earl Mitchell, which I think will be key. You know, we got another veteran presence on that defensive line. And I think Dumervil, I think, is going to be strictly pass rush. You're going to bring him in strictly.
No, definitely.
Third down.
Third down. Elvis is coming after you.
Mm-hmm. And that's okay. That's what we want. We want – so that to me, how I vision it, so, okay, what we'll just say he plays – we'll play what, Sam? Dumervil's going to be the sandbacker?
Yes.
Yeah. So, okay, so you put him as sandbacker. You're going to go ahead and put Solomon Thomas or even Earl Mitchell, which Earl Mitchell will probably be the big end. So you put him at the Leo. So then you got Dumervil and Solomon Thomas, Alvin Smith, Justin Smith. Thank you. Good night. And the fact that Butner's not going to play 1,008 snaps this year, they're going to be able to bring in Armstead slowly if his shoulder doesn't seem to be right, which from all accounts I've heard is okay.
Right.
All right, so we got our first call. Hold on. Let me go ahead and take our first call. I think I know who this is. Hello, caller. You're on Niner Faithful Radio. How you doing today?
I'm all right.
Is this Mary? How you doing, Mary?
I'm fantastic.
Okay.
Hungry.
So you know the rule. Hold on. You know the rules. I was actually telling Farmer here about you earlier. This is Farmer. This is the person I was telling you that's from New Jersey, but her mom's from here.
Oh, right on.
But she's a Niner fan from New Jersey. So, Mary, you have to tell your story on how you became a Niner fan.
Oh, well, I pretty much – my mom was a Niner fan, so I grew up watching the Niners and whenever I could. Being from the East Coast, moved out here to California with a whole bunch of Niner fans. So naturally, I became a Niner fan.
Okay, that's awesome. Okay. So what did you want to talk about today?
Well, I was just kind of seeing where, like, maybe other people's, like, favorite Niner moments and...
Okay. So, we had to drop... go ahead, sorry.
No, go ahead.
So, okay, my favorite Niner fan. We'll start off with you. What's your favorite Niner moment?
Mine? It was actually about a year or so ago when I finally was able to make it to my actual first Niners game. And
really?
And they won. Yeah.
Oh, so you
it was against
the Rams. At the Rams game?
Yeah,
so you were at the Rams game. That's funny. That's pretty sad that automatically, as soon as you said, I was able to go to my first Niners game at Levi's, and, you know, they won. I was like, oh, okay, well, we only won one game at Levi's last year, so that's pretty easy to guess what game you went to. It's pretty sad, I think. Okay. Well, so, no, favorite Niner moment. Oh, man, that's a tough one for me. That's a tough one for me. See? So, I won't say your age because they said never talk about a woman's age. So, okay, you remember a lot more of the heyday than I do. You know, I mean, I could talk about a lot more. I mean, I could get into the fact of, let me see. We could talk about Garrison Hurst run. Okay, so for those who don't know, I would go ahead and spill it. It was me who took Mary to her first Niner game last year. We went to the Niners-Rams game. And we went ahead and met Garrison Hurst. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
So when we met Garrison Hurst, I got him to sign my iconic Niner sign, fan sign, and it says 96-yard touchdown to the house. That was one of my favorite Niner moments. You could say, I mean, I don't really remember it live or anything, but I've obviously watched it on a million tapes and everything is, you know, all the Super Bowl wins, but the one favorite first Niner moment that comes to mind is probably the catch two, the T.O. catch against the Packers.
Well, for me, other than going to the game, was actually watching them win in 89.
So you remember watching them win in 89, the year I became a fan, huh?
Yeah.
That must have been pretty exciting, going down to the last seconds like that and everything like that.
Yeah.
That was pretty exciting, huh, right? Did you think they were going to win? So I have to ask.
Yeah.
See, you've never told me this story. So I'm actually interested in knowing this. We've never talked about this story together. You've never told me this, about the 89 Super Bowl. So what do you remember from
it? Very little, because I was like 12.
Okay, so you just ate yourself. So that's not my fault.
Yeah.
You can't get mad at me. Okay, so you're 12 years old. So at this point, this is January 23rd of 1989. Or 26, sorry, January 26th, I believe. So you're 12 years old, so you're still in New Jersey at this point in time. You haven't moved out to here to California. Okay, so you're watching it, I'm assuming, at your grandpa's house?
Yeah, I was actually at a friend's house.
Okay, so you're at a friend's house watching the Super Bowl. Okay, that's pretty awesome. So you don't remember much. You just remember kind of probably like how the Super Bowl was for me in 95. I remember it. I remember, you know, like seeing the Niners and stuff like that. And I remember Steve Young and Jerry Rice hugging the trophy. But I don't really remember the feelings of elation that I'll do. But we're going to go ahead and take a little quick break. And hopefully we might go ahead and bring Mary back with us. So we're going to go ahead and take a real quick short break for y'all. We got some tunes coming in to, I don't know, we'll see what we can slap here. Let's go ahead and play something.
Overtime, ladies and gentlemen. All right, do we like 90-0? There we go, let's go to work. 90-0 on one, ready? Inside hand of Garrison Hurst. Breaks the tackle at the 10. Across the 20.
In lot E, any given Sunday, rain or shine, to catch me nighttime on a Monday. Bleed red and gold, say a brand in my soul. Won four Super Bowls while I was 12 years old. In a 10-year span, had the goal line stand. And Joe hit Taylor on a 10-yard slant. Ran the Broncos off the field in a rout. They watched primetime, hot step into the house. Lately, it's been a drought, no Super Bowl team. But I was still a fan when we was 2-14. 10 rows from the end zone, you can find me. Hella 49er faithful right behind me. Hit like Lot and got hands like Wright. But hustle like Young and get high like Dwight. Yeah, win or lose, I'm a ride hard. No bandwagon jumping, I'm a die hard. Hey, I'm a die hard. See, I'm a die hard. Win or lose for my squad, I'm a ride hard. Don't hate me, try to pull my car. Like I told y'all before, I'm a die hard. Hey, I'm a die hard.
And Hurst broke for 90-plus on 90 plus with Brian Young and Stubblefield put that rush on him. In 98 when T.O. dropped four against the Cheeseheads and squeezed in the game-winning touch on him. Now I'm watching Frank the Tank tote the rock. Behind an O-line, a first-round is holding block. Burning in the lane, he made the end zone the habitat. The crash tree lifting off a catch is like an acrobat. Sideline to sideline, that's P. Willie. Hard hitter, got me tripping like, did he really just make that wide out throw up on the field?
What?
No 100-yard rushes, our front seven is real. Harbaugh stepped in and put us in the mix. Now ESPN say the Niners is legit. Yup, win or lose, I'ma ride hard. No bandwagon jumping, I'ma die hard.
Hey, I'ma die hard. See, I'ma die hard. Win or lose for my squad, I'ma ride hard. Don't hate the team, try to pull my car. Like I told y'all before, I'ma die hard.
I'm in lower box, section 1, row K, seat 7, 8, and 9. Season ticket holder, yeah, I put that on mine. Fairway the fans used to bag us all the time. See us doing good, now they trying to bandwagon ride.
But don't confuse me with one of them, cause you ain't never seen me with none of them. Who got it better than a nobody? 49 of tattoos cross their whole body. Live by the cold, faithful fans go by. In the lot, tailgating with the banjo guy. Cross the goal line, rest hands go high in the sky. It's 49 of pride till I die. And if you were 9 or 2, then real talk, put your ones in the air. Rest in peace, Bill Walsh. Yo, win or lose, I'm a ride hard. No bandwagon jumping, I'm a die hard.
Hey, I'm a die hard. Yeah, I'm a die hard. Win or lose to my squad, I'm a ride hard. Don't hate me, even try to pull my car. Like I told y'all before, I'm a die hard. Hey, I'm a die hard.
Young, back to throw. In trouble, he's going to be sacked. No, gets away. He runs, gets away again, goes to the corner, gets away again, to the 35, cuts back at the 30, to the 20, the 50, the 10. He dies. Touchdown, 49ers.
Everybody, and we're back. How y'all doing? All right, just had to take a little quick break right there. Had a little, caught some eyes, thought some T's. Oops, wait, reverse that. Dot some I's and cross some T's. There you go. So, we'll have a special guest, Farmer. He had to get back to work, so has to do what he has to do to run the beating drum. So can't hate on the brother doing what he had to do. But we do appreciate you coming in, Farmer, and speaking for Niner Faithful Radio. It was awesome. I hope y'all liked that. I mean, that was a real treat to get some opinions on some Niner ball with people. So let's see if we got any questions on Facebook. Of course, send your Facebook questions to Niner Faithful Radio. Go ahead and search Niner Faithful Radio on Facebook.com, and we'll answer any of the questions that y'all happen to send us. Oh, we got one question. What do you think about Joe Williams? So, Joe Williams. Nice little player. I think won't ever really something about his sister dying. This is the reason why he quit that team at Utah. And apparently he's over it and everything will have support on the Niners. Trying to look at the notes. I had to get rid of my draft notes or anything like that. But Joe Williams, I mean, he's fast. So if all these players, I mean, look, we're not going to hit on every one of them. But if all these players can reach somewhat of their potential, and I look, if you're looking for the 94 Niners, superstars, you know, the best at every position, you're not going to find it. If you're looking at the 81 Niners, you know, the team that had a team element. You know, they were a sum of all their parts. I think that's what the Niners are going to be this year. We're the sum of all our parts. That's not a knock. That's not everything at all. So, I mean, nothing much really been happening in Ninerland, so good to chop it up with Farmer and get some opinions about some old school Niner stuff, some little bit of Niner news. George Kittle was a lot of what we talked about. I hope this show is better for everybody. So go ahead and bang this number, y'all. Go ahead. We got a little bit of time left to take your calls and to go ahead and get your opinion known. Everybody, bang that number. That's 646-668-8467. That's 646-668, Blake Bell, Daniel Kilgore. Ooh, great way to figure out that number. I like doing that. All right, well, let's see. Do we have any more Facebook questions? No more Facebook questions. All right. So we're going to get into a little bit of OTAs now, or, well, not OTAs, mandatory mini camps. And Chris Jones, I wonder, he's a little player. We're going to do up next week, we're getting in a 90 over 90. So it's a 90-man roster over 90 minutes. The final 30 minutes will go ahead and be podcasted. I'll give you a little incentive to come and go to Radio AFS on blogtalkradio.com or iTunes.com/Radio AFS to get that downloaded, that podcast, for the final 30 minutes of extent. So we're going to go over 90 players in 90 minutes. Now, that doesn't mean we're necessarily going to spend a minute on a player. We're just going to go ahead and give a brief little description on each player and see what you do. See what it does. See what each player does. How about that? Let me speak correctly. Let me read what the freaking I wrote down in my notes. How about that, huh? Okay. So, check out Carlos Hyde. It's a little interview. And tell me what y'all think about his body language. Tell me what you think about his body language. And a little bit of, seems a little nervous. Seems a little bit, I don't want to say scared. That's the wrong way to say about the man. Competition seems to be pushing him a little bit. And more on edge. Not walking around so arrogant. Try to make a couple jokes, but didn't really go off well and actually kind of made little awkward moments. So, Eric Reed's interview was really good. I liked it. He gave really in-depth answers. I wish that we could figure out a way if the Niners would message me back and to go ahead and give me the okay to play some of the audio clips for y'all. I play the audio for y'all, but we don't want to get sued by the Niners. We can't afford that. So he was talking about how he loved his new role in his interview. He was been teaching the young guys, but, I mean, he's only a four-year player, what, 14, 15, 16, 17? Yeah, it's his fourth year. So, you know, pretty interesting. But he says he loves his new role. He'll be around the ball more and feels he'll be making more plays. Make more tackles, which will lead to more plays. He feels he was made for this particular strong safety position. You know, being a bigger safety, he's meant to hit and beat around the ball more. And, ooh, physicality. I love it, baby. Oh, Eric Reed's going to force some fumbles this year. Mark my words. I'm actually kind of sad. But the interesting part is also the team hasn't been contacting him for an extension. First round draft pick, y'all. I mean, is that the precedent we're going to set? If you're a four-year player, your contract's up, we're not going to reassign you? Excuse me. I hope that's not the precedent we set. Because 4 years out of a first-round draft pick, that's not really a lot. He was talking about how, sorry, I was reading the little notes, should learn to multitask more. But shows a little bit better this week than last week, so we're improving. He was talking about how the head coach sets up real plays. So the head coach, Kyle Shanahan, he sets up plays. He'll run a play. and run a play. And he'll run it 3-4 times in a game. And that way players are like, oh, I know it's coming. And he'll jump it. And next thing you know, the player will break the route off and be wide open for 6 because the player bit on the route. And he bit on the post corner. Or he bit on the slug go. You know, the slant go. Or stop and go. That was my favorite route. Excuse me, y'all. I apologize. That was my favorite little route to run when I tried to be a tight end. You know, it was a little stop and go. Ooh, I'm going to stop, act, and then go. Act like I'm going to catch it, and then I'm going to go. Turn up field. I used to love that. It was amazing. Huh. So we could Skype? That's interesting. Farmer's call is dropped. Yes, I knew that. So is there anybody listening? If anybody's listening, we need you to bang in that number. 646-668-8467. That number again, 646-668-8467. And get your opinion heard. Okay, we're going to take a little short break. I need to get some water. It's been a long day. All right, so we're going to take a little break and play some tunes. Here we got, I don't know, I'm going to go with Home. I like this little tune. Oh, no, this is a little funny little tune from back in the day with the Niners. We'll come back, we'll listen to this tune, and we'll wrap it up today's show on Niner Faithful Radio, the show hosted by Faithful for the Faithful.
We'll be right back.
back live. I'm curious to see if y'all can hear this. I kind of like the song. Hopefully you can hear it. If not, it's on then, lace your cleats. I've been a faithful since birth, and until I get old, I'm going to keep repping Frisco to that Super Bowl. So if y'all can't hear this, I kind of sound real silly right now. So I'd appreciate it if somebody would call in at 646-668-8467 to tell me if you can hear this or not, so I'm not looking real goofy. Dancing, listening to no music nobody can hear. A 49er rider. Shout out to Cuddy Cut. Keep him out on YouTube, y'all. Awesome, awesome man. Diehard Niner fan. Makes really cool Niner songs. Next to the Eagles. But this is my new one. So hopefully, I guess we're going to have later on in the season. Nah. I'll save that one for y'all. I'll save it for y'all. We'll save the rest for later. Hopefully we'll have them come on. I'm just kind of curious to see when I listen to the podcast later if we can hear that. And that kind of changes some things for your boy. Trying to make the show better for y'all. So, how's everybody doing? You know, we want to hear your opinions. I mean, like I was talking to Farmer about, for those who just turned in, we've turned over so much of this roster. I mean, we've lost Cap. We've lost Rod Streeter, Tony Gerard, Eddie, Gerard Harold. That's what I was trying to say earlier. Ponder, Thad Lewis, Jim Dre, Chris Davis, Andrew Tiller, he needed to go. Zach Moore, Mike Purcell, that was kind of sad. Eric Rogers, Jeremy Jacory. Oh, I get frustrated when I can't read. Jacory Shepard, Duane Harris, Phil Dawson, Nick Ballore, that's who I was trying to say, Nick Ballore. That was the one that even Mary, okay, so the Mary that called in, no offense, Mary, but even she could point out that he was a bad player. And that's saying something. I hope nothing's on fire. It smells like something might be on fire in here. If I die, like have them do like a memorial ceremony, some type of thing at Levi's, y'all, for me, please. It's like some type of memory, like, oh, this is where the homie TJ died. Please, if I die because something catches on fire in this library, don't let them forget me. All right, nah, I'm fine, y'all. I'm just trying to be funny. It's kind of weird talking to yourself. But, so, Nick Ballore, Michael Wilhoit, Torrey Smith, Antonio Batea, Marcus Martin, Gabbert, Tremaine Brock, Marcus Bull, Jerome Ham, Alex Baducci, Collard Bafford, Jason McMillan, Chris Harper, Brock Miller, Watson Mathis. I mean, that's a lot of players. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 30, 31, 32, 33, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40. That's 40 players that we cut. And there's an addition. Some players we also cut. Rashard Ross we ended up cutting to make team on the room for on the team for Will Davis, who probably also would be cut. Evan Goodman, but Elvis Sumerville, it doesn't say who we cut for them. But, you know, I mean, that's 40 players that we've cut off the roster. That's the majority of them. I mean, that means there's theoretically only 13 players left from last year's roster. You know, we'll go ahead and, I mean, we'll go ahead and check that out for you right now. I'm pretty sure it's only like 13 players over the roster. I hope these people aren't trying to get my room, bro. I still got like 3 minutes. I got 3 minutes in this room. Oh, they're hater. Okay, y'all. Well, so we'll go ahead and we'll get into that next week. Probably try to do next week's show, this week's show, next week. Well, I had some really good stuff for y'all, but Farmer came on and that kind of threw everything to the wind. And before we knew it, an hour is up. Ah, time flies when you're having fun. So we're at the 2 minute mark. Wait, hold it, hold it, hold it, hold it, hold it. 4, 2, 1. And we're at the 2 minute warning. So go ahead and rush in your calls. Any real quick thoughts that y'all have before we get off the radio, give them to me now. Also, before I forget, advertising. So if you have a pass in advertising and can forward a resume, then forward your resume to ninerfaithfulradio@gmail.com. We are looking for people in advertising to work and receive great benefits. Full-time employers. Full-time employment, everything you could possibly be looking for. Go ahead and forward those resumes to ninerfaithfulradio@gmail.com, and we'll go ahead and slap those on for y'all. May the Lord bless y'all this week. I will keep every other one of my fellow faithful in our prayers. I really wish this chick would stop staying at me. It's really making me uncomfortable. But alas, it's such a life. Well lived. So with that being said, we shall say peace, love, and nappiness. Alvin, take it away.
Thank you, everybody. Like